This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Cindependent Film Festival returns to town at the end of the month, and we've got a full preview of what's on the schedule and a look at the local independent film scene coming up in the back half of the show. But first...
For years and years, I've been telling my mom, I want a box. And I kept getting into street fights, and she finally decided to put me in there.
The worst thing you would deal with a fighter is knowing they're making the wrong decision and you can't change their mind.
The only difference is now I'm doing the rap instead of getting rapped.
One documentary that premiered at last year's Cindependent Film Festival is now making the rounds at other festivals, with some more screenings hopefully coming up for them. Hard Face profiles the journey of former pro boxer Richard Hardface Mason as he returns home to begin training amateurs at a local gym. The film also explores the lives of some amateur boxers training at this gym, so let's talk about it. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Northside Boxing Gym Coach and the documentary's namesake, Richard Hardface Mason. Welcome, Richard.
How you doing? Thank you.
Do I call you Richard or do I call you Hardface? I don't want you to hit me. I know that.
Where anybody from the streets call me Hardface.
All right, I'm going to call you Hardface then, if that's all right. I'm not really from the streets, from South Covington, Colesac.
That's everywhere.
Okay.
I'm the only one with that name worldwide.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll use that then. We've also got the director of Hardface, Mark Hood. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Join our conversation. Talk about the film. Talk about boxing. Talk about the impact that you think it has on people's lives. Cincinnati has a rich history in it. Give us a call. 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and get some of your comments into the show. Hardface, where'd that name come from?
My coach, John Falcone, gave me that name. When I was about 14 years ago, I come into the gym and another friend of mine named Aaron Brownfield. So I kept coming to the gym for a while and I never cracked a smile. So he gave me that name, John Falcone.
So it kind of gives you this character. You know, before you head into the ring to fight somebody. And I wonder, just as a boxer who did box professionally, how important is that just to build up some idea about yourself in the eyes of somebody who's stepping into the ring with you outside of the physical requirements?
Well, I mean, the main thing is you got to be training. As long as you're training, you're in good shape, you go in there and do what you have to do.
What got you into boxing?
Well, my sister kept jumping on me back in the day when I was a little kid. So, and then my father took me up to this place up in English Woods where they was boxing, and I seen this where they had this big old trophy. Like, I want to get one of them. So, like I said, a friend of mine, Aaron Brownfield, was boxing at the time. I wasn't. So I went to the gym with him, and I kept going, and I was going when he quit. And then that's when I met John Falcone.
What kind of kid were you at that point in your life?
Well, I mean, I was a pretty good kid. I was going to school, and I finally graduated, stuff like that. And I got in trouble one time, which almost ended my career, but I finally got it taken care of and got straight. And Falcone told me, like, either you can take this role or this role. So I took the role of boxing and stayed with it.
Talk about some of that early training, you know, when kids are coming up and they're looking for extracurricular activities, particularly sports, you know, you think of the more popular ones like basketball or baseball or soccer. What was it about boxing?
I mean, I tried all them sports, and like I said, I went to school for that, and I just, for some reason, like I said, I stayed with boxing. I mean, I didn't mind getting hit because, you know, everybody know me, I take one punch. I could take 15, 20 punches. I hit you with one punch, and it can be all she wrote. And as far as the boxing, my sister just kept jumping on me and everything. So when I hooked up with Falcone, everything just opened wide up. And he showed me a lot of stuff. And he told me one day, I was 15 at the time, and he said, in this sport, you're going to grow up quick. And I did. And I learned the inside and the outside of the boxing world.
What was that first punch like when you had to take a punch, a real serious punch to the face?
The first real punch, I didn't even really feel it because I'm like, did he hit me or not get hit? So, but the only times that I've been in so many different gyms and fights and only been hit twice that I can say where I really got my bell rung, that was Olin Norris and Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson hit you?
Oh, my God. He hit me on one side, the other side shook. That's how hard he hit.
You fought Mike Tyson?
No, I was in his training camp for 6 months.
Okay, well, you know, I don't mean to jump all over the place, but that's interesting to me.
Yeah, he's strong.
Yeah.
I tried to get a rematch with Olin Norris, but they wouldn't take it.
Okay, so did he hit you with all his might? Or
yeah.
Really?
If they paying you for it, that's what you're getting paid for. So if you can't handle it, get out of there.
And so he hit you twice, you said?
No, I mean, we worked out, but he got that one punch off and then hit me with an elbow after that. And I'm like, you throwing elbows. He told me, he said, look around. Ain't no referees in here. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he could probably just look at me and I'd pass out. But what was it like stepping into the ring with him, even for a training exercise?
I mean, people, inside the ring, he one person. Outside the ring, he a different person. Like in the ring, yeah, he's supposed to go in there and do what he's supposed to do. But outside the ring, he's a pretty good guy overall. He's a nice guy to talk to. He wasn't all that what everybody make him out to be.
But you stuck with boxing. You ended up fighting professionally?
Yes.
Okay, so at what point did you know? I mean, you talked about getting roughed up by your sister and exploring the world of boxing, getting to training a little bit, learning you had a couple different roads you could take. You chose the road of boxing. But when did you think, well, I got what it takes to go out there and compete?
Falcone won. Exposed me with that because, like I said, I can always fight. He just taught me the fundamentals of defending myself and stuff like that. And once I got all that together, it was trouble for a whole lot of them.
How'd you do out there then?
I mean, I did pretty good as an amateur and professional. Yeah, I did what I had to do and got in and got out.
So talk a little bit about your professional experience.
Well, I done been around the world. Thanks to boxing, it took me everywhere. And I know for a fact that if I would have never been boxing, half them countries I went to, I would have never made it. But it's been great. It's been interesting. Like I said, I know the inside and the outside about boxing. If you don't know nothing about boxing, I'm not even going to have no conversation with you as far as that aspect of the game anyway.
So how'd you end up with your professional record? Did you win more than you lost?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely won more than I lost. And if you look at it as a cruiserweight, I mean, I did what I had to do when then got titles and got out. But as a heavyweight, I started stepping up in weight class and got a little bit out of my range. And them guys can hit. And then I start the end of my career, I start taking fights on 2 and 3 week notice. But the one thing about it, I've never been knocked out, never been knocked down, and none of that.
So any loss you took was like a technical knockout?
No, I've never been knocked out.
So you
I lost.
Lost by decision. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got it.
I don't know nothing about that.
Okay. Awesome. So now you're back and your role is reversed. You're now teaching the kids who come in looking for a road to take. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But let's turn it over to Mark now, who directed this film about you and about boxing in Cincinnati. Mark Hood, the director of Hard Face. What attracted you to this project?
Well, I mean, look at Hard Face. I mean, I just love this guy. You know, I mean, when I met him, it was a special moment, and I knew that he'd have to be a big part of this project. I also knew that the gym that he was in, Northside Boxing Gym, had a big history that I needed to talk about. It was an untold story that I knew if I didn't tell the story, it probably would never be told.
Had you done documentary filmmaking before?
I have. I've done a couple of short documentaries, but this is my first feature length.
Okay. And so to take your first stab at feature documentary filmmaking, you chose this topic. Why?
Well, I knew that I had an advantage in Cincinnati because we have the boxing history. And so I knew that it would have a interesting perspective. And I knew that it would be a powerful story.
You decided to shoot this on 16mm film. So that's kind of old school. What made you do that?
Sure. Well, that's really the cornerstone of my filmmaking process. I believe by shooting on celluloid, you sort of create this pedigree, this timelessness to the film that digital cameras just can't do these days.
How much of the story evolved during the filmmaking process rather than laying out a narrative that you anticipated?
Well, sure. I started out really just wanting to cover some of the current fighters in the gym. But once I saw that this gym had been around for almost 40 years, and they had Olympians, they had pro fighters like Richard, I knew that I needed to tell a deeper story than just what was happening now. And I needed to tell the entire story of the Northside Boxing Gym.
We'll talk about some of those folks who came out of there.
Well, sure. We've got, Richard Hardface Mason. One of the biggest names, probably one of the other biggest names would be what, Richard, Tim Austin?
Timmy Austin, Tim, Bobby Lewis.
Bobby Lewis.
And it's a whole lot of names, but I can't
those are,
think right now.
Yeah, those are probably the two biggest. I mean, Tim Austin was the 92 bronze medalist in Barcelona. He was the 1990 Goodwill Games gold medalist. Bobby Lewis was an alternate in 96 Olympics.
96. He messed up his shoulder.
Had you been involved in boxing at all?
Not at all. Not at all. And that was something that attracted me to the project as well. I mean, I've always been intrigued with the sport of boxing. I love HBO and Showtime's programming of boxing, their documentary work. That was a big influence for me. So, no, I mean, honestly, that's another thing. I mean, the gym had such a family environment where you would think a boxing gym can be conceived as a very intimidating place. Guys punching each other, some machismo, but it really wasn't like that at all once you got into Northside Boxing. I mean, it's a true family environment.
Well, when you watch boxing on any of the premium cable networks, you can see that it can be a tough production. You think of the director who has to be prepared to have the camera ready on whichever angle, anticipating hits and getting the drama of the falls and the counts and all of that. You're working primarily, are you holding the camera yourself? Are you got a director of photography? Or I want to know about how hard this was for you to shoot.
Well, thanks. It was pretty challenging, especially in the gym. We're dealing with, it was hot in there, right? The AC wasn't working most of the time, Richard, right?
That's how it's always been. That's right. That's good for a gym, though.
Yeah, yeah. And, I ran the camera myself. My crew is made up of my brother, who was a co-producer. He did the boom mic, the audio a lot. I trained some friends to run the audio with me. Sometimes I had someone else run the camera when I needed to just kind of direct. But it was a very small guerrilla-style filmmaking process.
And so the story took on a narrative of more than just Hardface and his journey, but also some of the young amateur boxers who are in there. What did you learn about those folks?
Sure. Well, what I learned is that a lot of the things that that these boxers are going through right now, Richard already went through, and Timothy Austin already went through, and Bobby Lewis went through. So there's a lot of recurring themes in a boxer's life. But I also saw this parallel between my journey finishing this film, and sometimes there always has to be one person pushing the project to completion, and that was me. And when you're in the ring by yourself. So I kind of started to, in some way, draw my own parallels to boxing and with my journey to finish this film.
Well, we want to talk a little bit more about the filmmaking process, the journeys of the individuals who are practicing at the Northside Gym, and a little bit more about that history and your own story. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and we continue now with our discussion of the documentary Hard Face, which features the local amateur boxing scene. And we are joined today by Northside Boxing Gym coach and former pro boxer, and the documentary's namesake, Richard Hardface Mason. And we also have the documentary's director, Mark Hood, with us. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. If you'd like to join us, you can email talk at wvxu.org if you have any questions about the Cincinnati boxing scene. Hardface, I'm wondering what it was like for you to see a movie that didn't just feature you, but was named for you.
I mean, I was pretty shocked that Mark even done, to be honest with you. Because I remember when he walked into the gym, and I was way on the other floor of the gym, and he was talking to my coach and his wife and all of them over there, and this thing, I know, I just hear him call my name. And I go over there like, well, what's going on? They said, well, he's the one you're going to do an interesting story on. And I'm like, all right, well, go for what you know. And he started filming.
Did you know, Mark, that Hardface was going to be the focus of this, or did you anticipate a broader story about the gym itself?
Well, I anticipated a broader story about the gym itself, but I saw Hardface as sort of the center of gravity throughout their history. I mean, he started as an amateur, then became a high amateur and a pro, and then he became a coach. So he sort of spanned their whole life cycle. So it was important, I think, that he needed to be a big part of the film, and he became the namesake of the film.
Hardface, you've mentioned John Falcone a little bit at the beginning of this segment. I'm wondering if you can elaborate on who he is and the role he's played in your life.
He's the founder of Northside Boxing. He'd been in the game for over 40-something years, maybe longer than that. And he the one that really started me boxing. And like I said, I could sit here and talk about him all day. And he's like another one of my father figures. And he kept me on a straight and narrow path and told me what to do and what not to do.
Is he still with us?
Yes, he's still here.
Yeah, so is he still active at the gym?
No, he's retired. He pretty much stayed home now. He's dealing with a lot of health issues and stuff like that.
Sure. So, I mean, how many local kids do you think he's had an impact on over the years?
I'm saying at least, and this being generous, at least 3,000 or more.
And what did you learn about John Falcone while making this movie, Mark?
I learned that John Falcone was a man who took an idea and made it happen. He made something manifest out of nothing, and that was his legacy now, this Northside Boxing Gym. And that's a really inspirational thing for me as a filmmaker, because that's the journey of a filmmaker. Nobody else is going to make the film. You've got to be the one to make it happen. And nobody else would have made Northside Boxing Gym. It had to be John Falcone, and he knew that.
Part of this film takes a look at some of the up-and-coming amateur boxers who are entering the ring to train, and now the gloves are on the other hand, I suppose, Hardface, because you're now the teacher in a lot of ways. So what has that transition been like for you to go from, you know, being in the ring as the fighter to the coach?
I mean, it was pretty easy, but sometimes when you go to different amateur shows, even when you're in the gym, see these guys working out, sometimes you get a flashback of wanting to go back in there. Your mind say yeah, but your body say no. So overall, it's been pretty interesting.
We'll talk about some of the kids who are coming. We were going to have one on. I guess something fell through and he couldn't join us. We were looking forward to talking to David Carlton. If he's listening, I hope he's doing well. I'm sorry that he couldn't be on the air with us. But talk about their experience when they come in and they see you there and your approach to them.
I mean, I always tell the kids, if you're doing it because you want to do it or your parents want to do it. So if your parents want you to do this, it's not going to work. It's something you have to have that you want to do it yourself. And if you want to do it yourself, hey, that's another plus on your side. But the main thing is you have to be trained. And I tell everybody, if you're not running, it's a wrap. You can have all the skills in the world. But if you're not out there running, doing what you're supposed to do, it's just not going to work. And I tell all my kids, it's either you like me or you don't like me, which majority of them don't like me because my training method is real strict.
Did you develop this training method yourself? Has it evolved since the beginning, or did you adapt the teachings of your teacher?
I got it from my teacher, Falcone. It was me, him, Lou, and G, which is those are his sons, and we all developed the same style from learning from the master himself. And he said, why try to fix something that's not broke? And it's been working ever since. And it's down and through history, you see how it worked.
The number to join us is 513-419-7100. Let's go to the phones now. We have Doc on the line. Hi, Doc. What's your question or comment?
Hey, thanks for having me on. First, Hardface, I want to thank you for all that you've done for boxing. I had no idea. Norwood is one of my favorite communities. And I hope to come down there and see what's going on. I have two questions. My first question is there what type of help or assistance is needed in your gym as far as training and financial or whatever? My second question is, what do you think will happen in the rematch between Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz?
All right, Doc, we appreciate that. We'll hang up and we'll let Hardface answer those questions. So I think the first one was about, you know, is there some financial assistance that maybe some people involved in the gym might need?
Well, we need all the help we can get. We on Lynn Street. I forgot the address down there. It's the Carl Lewis Center right next to the old Regal. And head coach down there, name is Frank Rose. But all we need, all the help we can get for is getting new gloves and training outfits, sweatsuits, and everything like that. And for us, the second question, it'd be the same results.
I don't know what that means. Anthony Ruiz and
Joshua still don't have it.
Okay. So another victory for Anthony Ruiz, you would predict.
Yes.
Okay. So you still keep up with the active fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who's your favorite?
Well, right now, I mean, I don't really have a favorite fighter. Because I've been in boxing so long, it's like when people go to say, well, who is this, who is that, and who's your favorite? I mean, everybody got their own different ways of working out and training and stuff like that, but I don't have no favorite fighter.
Do you have an all-time favorite?
I retired. No, but if I was to say an all-time favorite, I would have to pick Larry Holmes.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about the training, because you mentioned if your parents want you to do it, it's not going to work. You have to want to do it yourself. I'm wondering, gosh, whose parents want to push their kid into fighting?
But when I say you got to want to do it yourself, because a lot of parents use it as a daycare center. Oh, okay, well, son want to box, bring him to the gym. He's standing for 2 or 3 hours and this and all that, and the kid do nothing but look around or just play. And if you're serious about it, it's great. But you'd be surprised. They still do it to this day. They come in there, like, well, my son want to box and get in there. He have no clue of why he's even in there. The parents just want to get time to themselves or whatever, stuff like that.
What's the first lesson for a young kid who's coming in to learn boxing?
The first lesson to come in there, you have to be able to listen. You have to be able to listen. You have to be coachable. That's in any sport. And if you're not coachable, it's just not going to work.
So it's really not about punching at all yet. It's just...
No. So we get guys in the gym just in a... It's not all about boxing. We have some coming that just want to learn the fundamentals of boxing. And some want to come in just to get in shape. But our gym is where we can really compete. If you come in and say, well, okay, I just want to get in shape, fine. But we see you with potential, you want to compete, we'll put you over in there. We do the right steps to get you in there. We ain't just going to throw you in there like some gyms do. But that's not how we work.
How important, or let me rephrase that. What role do you find boxing to play in the lives of these kids as an alternative to activities that might get them in trouble?
Well, for us, I mean, everybody keeps saying it's just boxing. It's not all about boxing. It's just giving them an outlet of having something to do. Like a lot of them, you see, they come in there and play football, basketball. And like I say, with boxing, it's just another way of outlet. You know, someone come in there and they're angry, just let them hit the bags and jump rope and get their frustrations out and stuff like that. It's not always all about the boxing.
And Mark, in producing this film, you premiered it last year at the Cindependent Film Festival, which was coming up for another year at the end of this month. Talk about being a filmmaker today and what it's like trying to get this movie out there.
That's a good question. Well, it's difficult. I mean, you have a lot of competition. I mean, I started making this film in 2013, and from 2013 to 2018 when we premiered it, a lot of things changed. YouTube has changed filmmaking. So much great content is being just thrown up without the film festival circuit, without getting distribution. People are just creating awesome content, and it's going right up. So that's why it's important, I think, if you care about cinema, and especially independent cinema, that you support local cinema and filmmakers, and to go to the film festivals in your city, like Cindependent Film Festival, which we luckily have now in this town.
So you're trying to get into some other festivals, I imagine.
Sure, yes. We've been in a handful of festivals. In fact, we have another one coming up called Indie Nights in Los Angeles. That'll be our Los Angeles premiere, and that's October 26th. So if you're in Los Angeles then, definitely need to make it out.
Are you all going out for that, or?
We were talking about that today.
Oh, are you having trouble hearing us?
Mine's not on.
Okay, that's all right. You can take them off. It's no big deal. Yeah. You can just listen to us here in the studio. No problem, hard face. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you want to take them off and listen, that's fine. But are you planning to go to L.A. for the premiere?
Right now, it's not. I never really thought about it, but if this opportunity occurred, yeah, I'll go out there.
How does one get their film in a film festival? How, I mean, they seem relatively ubiquitous these days, and we have several different types of film festivals mm-hmm. in this community mm-hmm. alone. We'll be talking about that in the next segment a little bit. But, I mean, what's the process?
Well, you apply. It's kind of like applying for college, or you submit an application. Nowadays, you can have like your film is up on Vimeo or YouTube, and you send them a link with the application criteria, and then they might get out of 1,000 films, you maybe have 100 that are selected. So it's a competition.
What's your next project?
Good question. So I've got three that I've been developing, a couple of short films. One on a very interesting story locally. You might be familiar with the Better Bus Coalition mm-hmm. and the work that they've been doing. Cam Hardy.
Yeah, we know him well.
You know him well, right? He's been on the show. So that is the probably the next project, and that'll be right now. I'm looking at a short film on that topic.
And before you go, Hardface, I'll ask you a couple more questions about the kids who are coming in. You know, one thing we hear about sports these days is that, gosh, football is getting so dangerous, right? Head injuries, concussions, and all that. Is boxing getting that same criticism at all? Is there any concern about the hits that people of certain age groups are taking while they're in the ring fighting?
Well, I mean, I won't say it's not like football. I mean, football, you know, I've been watching them, but you know, a lot of them players, they get upset. They take a lot of cheap shots. But boxing, they pretty well, you have some in there, but overall, you don't have too many like that.
Who do you think is the next great boxer to come out of Cincinnati?
Well, right now, we have a few fighters coming up out of Cincinnati. We got, I can't remember his name now, Duke Reagan coming up out of Cincinnati. We got LaVarge Carter here in Cincinnati. And we got AJ. He's coming up in and out. He just turned professional, too.
Hardface, why don't you tell us about the guys you're training right now, maybe?
Well, we got a couple heavyweights, Oliver down there. We just all go by nicknames. We got Oliver, we got Mike down there, got a guy named Sleepy, got a guy named Nosy, and we got a couple females down there too. Diamond's one of them. And we just pretty much like a close-knit family like Falcone's don't used to be.
All right, if I showed up down there to start training, what nickname would you give me?
That's a good question. I got to see how you hold your hands first.
Really limply. Mm. We'll work on that later. Hardface, it's good to meet you. Richard Hardface Mason and filmmaker Mark Wood talking about the documentary Hardface, which we hope to see in wide distribution at some point really soon. Thanks to both of you for coming in and chatting with us.
Thank you for having us.
All right, no problem.
Up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about film. We've got the Cindependent Film Festival coming to town at the end of the month. We've got a preview for you. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.